Welcome back to the Food Mentor Podcast, and today we're chatting with another startup venture, in fact, a venture that is very soon to launch. I'd like to welcome to the podcast Nana Ya Kwarteng, who originates from Ghana in West Africa. Nana has lived in Melbourne for 20 years and has a very interesting background and story, including the desire to bring Ghanaian and West African aromas, flavours and culture to Australia and eventually the world. A new brand is called Nana Africa, which celebrates West African aromas, flavours, and of course, the culture of West Africa. Colour, dance, fun, and great food are some of the key attributes that Nana Africa will bring to the table. What's interesting about this story is the pace in which an idea transitioned to a retail brand almost ready to launch in what could be record time. Spices, meals, meal components are the segments Nana Africa will play in to kick off with, and as always, through the lens of differentiation. I really hope you enjoy this podcast.
This episode of the Food Mentor Podcast is brought to you by Creme Design, Australia's leading food industry product and brand design agency. Creme Design develops new products and brands that stand out and help your business grow, regardless if you're a startup or multinational company.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Food Mentor Podcast. My name's David Burns, delighted to have you with us again. And today I'm joined by Nana Ya Kwarteng, who is a colleague of mine, and we've been working together since around about the end of August. Welcome, Nana.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Pleasure. Great to have you in here. I'd love the name, your name. Let's talk about your name and the origins of your name.
So my dad actually named me after my grandma, who was very generous, very kind, very hospitable lady. My dad still calls me by Nana. But in Ghana, you normally have like an English name. So it's Bettina. A lot of people call me Betty. But then I have this name I make up as well when I go out, calling myself Sasha, because that's what I want to call myself. And so along all those three names, I'm trying to switch back to my own Ghanaian name that I was born with that my dad actually named me, which is Nana Ya Chumua Kwarteng. And I think that resonates well with me. So from today and forever, that's what I want to call myself. Nana Ya Chumua Kwarteng.
Love it. I love that. I love
it's
the heritage
really,
there.
Really good.
So you've been in Australia or Melbourne now for 20 years. So before we get into that story, tell us a little bit about Ghana and your upbringing, and because it's sort of a region of the world that I'm personally not familiar with. I've been to Morocco a few times and North Africa, but tell us about the culture of Ghana.
So Ghana is actually west side of Africa. It's really warm all the year. We've only got two seasons, so we've got the wet and the dry season. And the people there are very friendly, very peaceful. Like, we don't have wars or anything like that. We normally, like, try and talk to each other if there's a problem or something. We also actually connect a lot through food. So I grew up, we're seven in all. My dad had seven children. So we're three girls and four boys, and we used to all sit in a big compound home. We call it in the middle, and we'll cook a lot of food. So all of us will sit down together and we'll eat together. My dad, he taught us when we were growing up that a family that eats together, they stay together. So that's a very strong bond that we all built as family growing up. So it's the love for food that Ghanaian people share across everywhere. So if you're a visitor and you come to Ghana, you see people will bring you food everywhere. It's just like the way we show our love, kindness and respect to people.
Yeah, actually, I love that. When I think of Africa, I've got a couple of friends from way back who had loved ones who were West African, and the first thing that resonates with me is the colour and the and the dancing.
Yes. Yeah. We dance a lot back home. It's like our medicine. I think when people talk about therapy is dancing in Ghana. A lot of people would dance. Like, we dance even through funerals. People are dancing. We're dancing in the morning, afternoon, anywhere you see people dancing. It's just part of the culture. It's being bold, being happy, expressing yourself through dance, through food, through colors. You see a lot of people dressed in different colors there.
I love it.
Yeah,
love it.
So we love experimenting things like that.
I love it. Yeah. We'll get to the actual, the type of food in a moment. But so you've been in Melbourne for 20 years. Tell us about your journey in Melbourne. How did you come to arrive in Melbourne 20 years ago?
So I was a really young girl and I just wanted a better life when I was migrating to Australia. I think initially I wanted to go to the UK because my best friend migrated then. It's only like 6 hours from where I come from, but I went there and they said that the visa is 6 months before you get an interview. And I was like, no way, I'm not waiting for 6 months. I'm ready to start my life. So then they told me Australia is actually taking international students. So I went for my application and then I ended up applying for the visa to come here and I got it. And then I came to study my Bachelor of Science and I majored in nursing. So I've been nursing since probably 2006. I've done a few specialty across nursing and I've worked in cardiothoracic ward, critical care units. I've done liver transplants. So I've done, and I also own my own clinic there where I did more Botox, fillers, fat capitations and that. So nursing in all these specialties, and then I thought it's about time that I do what my passion is as well. So that's literally what brought me to this
amazing
journey.
And you've got a beautiful young family.
I
not
do.
not so young anymore.
I know. I've got twins and they're 18 years old. My son actually got his license. My daughter failed like 3 times and she finally got the license on Thursday.
So congratulations.
She's so excited. She feels like she's on top of the world. She's making her iced coffees in the morning and driving and we're just so excited about that. I've got my little Levi. We're both foodies. We just love food. We go and try every, it doesn't matter what cuisine it is, which nationality, we'll just go and try it if we find where it is. Me and him enjoy doing that. Sabra as well, which is my third one. She's 13. She's at the moment embracing all her culture. She's learning how to do braiding. So yesterday we were sitting there, we're doing braids in the hair.
She
wants to go back to Ghana and learn all that and come to Australia and start doing braids and hair extensions and cornrows, which is, I'm really happy
amazing
about that.
So yeah. You've got 4 children.
I do.
So we could have a soccer team between us, quite literally. So you can be the coach and maybe I'll be assistant coach.
Definitely.
That's fantastic. So let's get into sort of Ghanaian West African food and culture and the aromas. What exactly is that? What are the key sort of features of Ghanaian cuisine?
So we actually use a lot of spices and meat and vegetables when we're cooking. And I remember my grandma taught me, as a woman, you have to know how to balance your spices properly. And by doing that, you can cook really well. And food, like I said, bring a lot of people together. So you can invite people and you can be warming. And that sort of aromas and smells with our food, it's quite unique to West Africa because, like I said, we know how to balance our spices very well. And that's what I want to bring to Australia.
Yeah.
What I learned from my grandma growing up and my family, really.
And fantastic. And last week you and I together had a red hot go at the jollof rice.
Yes.
Let's just in a nutshell explain what jollof rice is to the listeners.
So jollof rice is it's a special type of rice that a lot of West Africans make it, and we have actually this war. It's called jollof war that the Senegalese think it originated from them. They cook it better. The Nigerians think they cook it better. The Ghanaians think we balance our spices better than any of the West Africans and we cook it better. But jollof is literally your type of protein that you want, your rice, and obviously it's cooked in tomatoes and your spices and that, and you just let it cook. It takes a time to cook and it tastes delicious. So I hope everybody get to try jollof, but to precise the Ghana one.
That's pretty funny. And then so we started working together at the end of August, first week of September, and we opted to kick off by developing a range of meat and seafood rubs. Mm-hmm. And we both could see in the spices world that it's actually it's a big category, but it is actually quite, our opinion was it's quite dull.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously with the development of the brand and the colours and the meat rubs themselves, we think there's a gap there to be exploited and bring some colour and fun to that category, Nana.
Yes. Actually so excited because, like I said, I've lived here since 2002 in Australia. And anytime I go to the spices section, I don't see anything that is like vibrant, that's colorful, that is like really out there. And I also see all the spices. You've got to get many spices. And that's what I'm trying to end. I just want you to have your spices just in one pack that you can have all the ingredients of what you need, specific for chicken or for seafood or for meat. And you can just put it on your rub and have the authentic West African taste.
Love
in
it.
Just one of it. And I'm going to bring the color in it. I'm going to bring the taste. I can promise that because I learned this growing up in Ghana.
Amazing. So we have kicking off probably January, late January, early February. We're sort of ready to go, but obviously we've got Christmas in the way now. We've got a chicken rub, a all-purpose barbecue rub, which is called suya.
Yes.
and a seafood rub.
Yeah.
And they have one of them has like 16 ingredients, obviously all natural, no preservatives, gluten-free, plant-based. Yeah. So ticks all of those boxes as well. But more importantly, of most importance, they are really amazing. So we spent some time with the blender, playing around with the fry pan, and after not that many times, maybe three or four, we think we nailed it.
Yes, I think so. I think the blender job probably thought I would keep changing it, but it's just I wanted the taste to be specific to what I was trying to create. And I know I learned along this journey that you can't have it specifically tasting just as you grew up with, because they're using, for example, like powdered ginger instead of the roots that we use back home. So by understanding that, I now can comprehend why I wasn't getting the taste in the first or the second place. But right now, I love the taste, and I sit there and I enjoy this chicken on my own time with my kids, and I can't wait to share that with Australia, and I think they're going to really love it.
Yeah, so essentially for the chicken rub, for example, you get some, you know, thigh fillets or pieces, splash of oil of your choice, add some of the meat rub.
Yeah.
The mixed spices, essentially like a coarse mixed spice, and get your hands in there and massage into the meat, let it sit for a little while, and then barbecue or fry pan, and the aroma and the color and the flavor is amazing. It's quite a unique proposition. You know there's lots of herbs and spices, but this is the product range of three rubs really are quite different, but the bit I love most of all is got to be the branding and the packaging.
Yes.
It really does stand out like the proverbial, doesn't it?
It does, and that's what was really important to me when I seen the designer, that I'll make sure that it stands out, it's bold, it's got all the colours that we as West Africans grow up with, and he really nailed it. I had all that and more. And
I love it. And then we had a few iterations of that, and then we opted to add the silhouette of the African lady with the pot on her head. Yes. So she's like the signature to the brand Nana Africa, which looks excellent. And I thought it was quite funny last week when we were getting the lift going down to the test kitchen, you were walking along the landing with we were carrying pots and pans, and you actually had a couple of pots on your head, and you were walking along with these pots balancing on your head. I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, I think we grew up doing that all the time. We had to carry water on our head and walk miles with it. So most West Africans would be very, very
Love it.
Aware of it.
It's great. So obviously this is all new for you, this food entrepreneurship journey.
Yes.
Tell us, so there's lots of moving parts. Mm-hmm. This is your learning around barcodes and the packaging, and then the packaging goes in the inner and the inner goes in the out.
Oh my gosh.
And website development, it just goes on and on and on. What's been your sort of couple of key learnings, I guess, over the last 3 months? It has been a very short period of time, we should add. We'll talk about that in a minute.
I've learned to be patient. That's the word that I need to use, because all my life, if I want something, it's like I want it now. I just want to do it right now. Why do I have to wait for this time? I don't understand the need to be patient and to let things fall in place. But with this process, it's just like you can't rush it, because even though your blends might be ready, the packaging will not be ready, the website will not be ready. They still need details. Yes, sir. That's what I've had to learn, to be patient and let things fall in to where exactly it has to be, 100%. And know that everything will be
When we first met, you said, I've got this big long list of everything I want to do and I want to launch before Christmas.
Yeah.
This is on the 28th of August.
Yes.
So that was a little bit of a reality check. But I must say it has been remarkably fast once we nailed the blends themselves.
Yes.
and sort of everything else has been developed in parallel to that. It's actually unbinned. Yeah. By the time we get a product on the shelf, it will probably, if you minus out the sort of Christmas period, which mm-hmm. nothing happens, it's probably about 4 months, mm-hmm. which would probably be close to as quickly as you could possibly develop anything from scratch, from an idea to. So it's been amazing. It's an amazing journey. So well done, but not without a bit of heartache.
Yes.
Let's talk about, one of the biggest frustrations is attempting to find the good contract manufacturer.
Oh my God. Yeah. That has been like a nightmare. I remember when we had to be on a Zoom call with someone and he was driving and he was in Malaysia and the phone kept cutting and he would come back and we couldn't hear a word he was saying. Then he sent us an invoice saying he's going to charge this by just introducing a manufacturer. And also we were, I think a couple of the calls from Sydney, the Zoom calls. Yeah. It looked like we were begging them to do us a favor. They were just so negative. There was just no positive thing.
Isn't it?
It was really, really hard.
If you go through the key criteria to work with a great contract manufacturer, the most important thing is obviously they need to be able to do what we want, but also you need to be able to communicate effectively is arguably the most important thing, isn't it?
Yes, that was really hard.
Awesome. So let's chat briefly about, without diving into the finite detail, but obviously there's other ideas after the rubs are launched. One of them is obviously the meals, getting into the meals with the jollof rice. That's exciting, Nana.
Yeah. I'm so happy to be developing this because it's like going to have, as a mom of four kids, I do know how hard it is, especially after work, because I did nursing for many years and shift work, and I'm trying to get things like recipes and that are so easy for people that within half an hour they can have dinner on the table, or if they had done a night shift or something, they can just enjoy a really good meal.
Yeah.
Just like much easier. So 100%. I've got all the ingredients that they need. I've got the recipe that they have to follow. And I think within half an hour, they might be able to eat some West African cuisine in their house. I'm not going to go into the details what type of cuisines that are coming. That's a surprise for everyone that follows me. But I think they're going to enjoy it. It's going to come with really good taste. I'm going to have some colors in there, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's going to be inviting, really, really nice to eat as well.
And it's funny, you know, I think obviously cuisines like Italian cuisine is very well established, and a lot of the Asian cuisines like, you know, Thai and Vietnamese and Indian in particular. So, you know, sort of getting into a segment and categories that are well known in terms of meal components, but introducing, you know, Ghanaian and West African cuisine.
I'm so excited because, like I said, I've been living here for so long. I would go to the shops and they've got aisles for like Asian aisles. They've got Middle Eastern aisles and we have nothing. Like there's no African to precise, even West African as well. We don't have any of it. So I think it would be very, very nice for some of us that have migrated so far away from home to be able to be at a shop and be able to grab some food.
Yeah.
Of wherever our origin is from and enjoy the food. And also not just for us, for other people that also like trying other cuisines from other countries can also, they don't have to get to a restaurant to be able to try
that. Right.
They can just have that as they shop around Australia.
So in the international supermarket aisle where we have, you know, Asian section, we want a West African section now.
Yeah, actually we want an African section. Can have the whole of Africa. So if you're from South Africa, you can have pick your groceries. If you're from West Africa, you can pick some of your food. If you're from East Africa, you can pick that, so we can all be inclusive, literally.
I love that. And in terms of the brand itself, the Nana Africa brand, obviously you are a key part of this brand. Tell us how you feel about that.
I am so happy because I did actually have an accident in 2021, a car accident, and that is when I was sitting in the hospital. I'm like, I've done everything. I wanted to travel and leave Ghana and migrate to another country. I've done it. I wanted to have children. I've done it. I wanted to finish my Bachelor of Nursing. I did it. I've been nursing. What have I not done that I really, really wanted to do? And it was my passion for food to share that with Australia and around the world. And I thought, so if I did die, I wouldn't have been happy because I didn't do that. So I'm like, this is it. This is the time. I'm going to do this. I'm so excited. excited, and it just makes me so happy to be able to get up and know that I am in the middle of creating my food for people to taste it and see what has made me the woman I am today by literally, growing up in Ghana and having our food and our culture to Australia.
And a few weeks ago we had Tima on the show here who is great at helping people use their personal brand and bringing that to life. So I can see, you know, your face and your personality being a major part of the Nana Africa brand as it should be. Because I know you're not shy.
Yeah, I was not sure if I wanted my face on before I actually listened to Tim's podcast that you had.
Yeah.
And I think she was really right. She nailed it because I think as women, we really criticize ourselves. We're actually our worst critics and we don't like something about ourselves and we don't know. It could be anything. So I was like, oh, I don't want my face on there. Oh, I was just so like not happy to get any negative feedback or anything. So I wanted to hide my face. But then when I listened to it, she's like, some people actually resonate with you, which is the brand owner, by, you 100%. Know, showing your face and being available and letting people know who you are. And so by listening to that, I'm like, actually, she's right. I'm going to do that. And that's why I'm sitting here. There was never a million years I thought I'd come on a podcast.
You're on video now. But
oh, my God. Yeah.
Hey, you were talking to me. We got onto the topic because I'm a migrant as well, myself, being English, been here a long time, longer than your good self. But we were talking about the Black Lives Matter movement. And tell us about that journey of, with you and your young family being in Australia for the last 20 years.
It's so funny when a lot of Africans speak about Black Lives Matter and that, but because I actually grew up in Ghana where predominantly everyone is black, so I did not actually know what racism is as opposed to probably a black person that lives in America or lives in Australia. So when people were talking about it, I couldn't actually resonate with it. I didn't even understand it. But then over time, I've had to endure my own racism. I've actually gone to like a hospital that I'm working at and there will be probably about 13, 15 nurses that are about to get their handover from the night shift, for example, and start a morning shift. I'll be asked, where did you get your nursing degree from? And I'm thinking, are you asking everybody that? But then I didn't actually know what that was. Then as my kids are actually growing up and they come home, like my son said, Mom, you don't even understand what it is. It's very hard because sometimes in the train, people would rather stand than sit near me. And he will tell me, like in the classrooms, he's constantly being singled out because he's obviously the only black boy in the class. So I think it's actually, it is still happening. Racism still does happen. It's, I think some women are not experiencing it as much as probably men. Just as I was in the Uber coming here, the Uber driver, I was actually telling him I'm here to do a podcast and all that, and I was like, oh, these are some of the subjects that I want to talk about. And he was like, oh, you mean you haven't experienced any racism? I get stopped all the time because of the car I'm driving and because I'm black. And he was telling me he actually works, he's an engineer and he does Uber driving. So he's got quite a nice car, a Mercedes he was driving. And I was like, oh, okay. So it does happen. But I think with education and awareness and inclusivity and cultural diversity, I think all of us can be more sensitive around people of color as well. And obviously it's very hard for other people to experience that if they're not obviously black. So I think it does happen, but I think with education we'll all be able to
100%. But I would say to you, you know, we tip that on its head, and for you personally, use your heritage and your Ghanaian background fit to your advantage with this new venture. 100%.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why we want to get into where we can have be included as well and have diversity in the shop. So if there's a Middle Eastern food, if there is a Chinese people have in their island, that hopefully we can at some point
that's
have some African stuff
that's,
as well.
That's a vision. African category in the international eye. Definitely, definitely.
That would be so great.
So let's talk through what's that, you know, so we're now just pre-Christmas, jumping into the new year. We can provide to any anyone that's listening that's interested, we've got a great presentation that talks about the brand, talks about Nana, talks about the rubs in particular. We've got samples that we can provide as well, and we'll be ready to rumble more than likely back end of January, maybe early February. So it's all pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait to share this passion and what we've been doing together along this journey with everybody. I think Australia is going to fall in love with my food, my culture, and everything. The spices are going to be so good, so easy to use. You won't have to have so many spices on things. Like, I keep taking and pouring spices on each thing that I'm doing. That's what I want to finish now. I just want you to have just one, and then maybe one sachet, and then just put it on your protein or whatever and barbecue it or pan fry it or however you like to eat your meat. But I think the one that is going to stand out will be the suya. I think it's very popular. It's a West African street food. Nigerians eat it, Ghanaians eat it, Senegalese, they all have it.
Ground peanuts, that one through,
and it's really, really yummy. And I think Australians and around the world will fall in love with that. No. It was actually my favorite spice growing up on actually having meat.
Yeah, I love it. Congratulations on the short journey so far. So the new Instagram page is _Nana_Africa_. A few underscores there, but it's easy to find. You'll see one of the logos up there in the top of the bio. So it's been fabulous to have you in the studio, and congratulations, and I'm sure you'll kick goals next year. It's going to be exciting.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it. I was nervous. I didn't want my face on here, but I'm working on it, and I'm so happy that I was invited here. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thanks so much. Thanks.